kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We're going to have some reviews and news later on, but it's a special occasion. It's a WrestleCast. We got some AEW to talk about, and joining me, Tim Ekibis is here. Big Adam Mike Chase on. Is here. Matt hey, Pye yo, is yo, here. Yo. How's everyone doing?
Oh, we doing
pretty good.
We doing real good.
Fresh off of Dynamite, feeling it.
Fresh off of Dynamite indeed, and there is a lot to talk about. Full Gear is this weekend, and holy shit, is this a card.
Yeah, this is the biggest, best card AEW's put together for a pay-per-view, in my opinion.
Like, it is ridiculous how stacked this card is. So let's not waste any time. Let's dive into this. We are, of course, going off of the official Wikipedia order, so that's as legit as it gets, obviously. But pre-show, we're going to see an NWA World Championship match between the new champion Serena Deeb and Allison Kay. I think this is just going to be a squash.
Yeah, I think this is going to be Serena Deeb retaining
pretty easily. I don't know if it'll be a squash, definitely. But, Deeb's going to win.
They might have a nice competitive match. It won't be a squash because it's being booked as the buy-in. It's probably going to go 15-20, but I bet you it is a retention.
Yeah. Yes. She just won last week.
Got that title.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's just there to have a good solid match. Hey, and two women's matches on the card. Thank you. At least
that's
something.
Representing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be a good pre-show match. No discussion really there because it's just as obvious as it gets. But opening up the main card allegedly is going to be Orange Cassidy versus John Silver of the Dark Order. I love Orange Cassidy, and I can't wait to see what happens in this match.
One of my favorite things about AEW is how they embrace like the goofy stuff. They're just like, no, it's fine. It's the goofy shit. You need the goofy shit. You need it. and John Silver and Orange Cassidy are two of the funniest people they got.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like they also actually managed to be funny without being cringy, unlike certain other companies. Yeah, these guys like and Silver is absolutely hilarious on BTE.
Oh my gosh,
he is out of control. And that's pretty much the reason why he has a featured singles match on a pay-per-view. I would have to think.
It's got to be. He's so over on that show. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna win.
Oh fuck no! I don't think. Yeah. Orange Cassidy just beats Chris Jericho. If his next match he loses to John Silver, that'd be a mess.
That would be John Silver.
John Silver gets a Titan run at that point.
I'm gonna guess it's gonna be some kind of DQ thing.
I think not.
Yeah, I think Dark Order is gonna come in, play dirty. I think it's gonna be a DQ that leads into some kind of 3-way feud with OC and the Best Friends.
I think Orange just wins.
Just straight up?
I just think Orange just wins. Yeah, clean. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Show agree opener, with that. Feel good, opening match. Orange just beats John Silver. That's that.
Okay.
I think the Dark Order is going to get involved, but Orange Cassidy will overcome the odds, or maybe the Best Friends will come out and even the odds and help Orange Cassidy to win.
Right now.
I was going to say, do you think the Best Friends thing is going to be a run and rescue?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe after the match is over. Yeah, they could show up. Yep.
I know, we shall see, but y'all guys mentioned Chris Jericho before. He is having a singles match against MJF, where if MJF wins the match, he is allowed to join the Inner Circle. Mm-hmm. Where do you see this going?
Who wants to go first? I think we all have opinions on this.
First, Adam.
I'll go first, okay. I think that MJF is going to win this match, but I think it's going to be shady.
Yes.
I think that, and all credit where credit is due, my brother-in-law kind of got me on this thought. I think MJF is going to make a play at trying to be the leader and cause some kind of mutiny, and I think we're going to get a Chris Jericho babyface turn.
Mm-hmm.
I think MJF is the leader of the Inner Circle right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
And at the pay-per-view, we are going to see him take over, the rest of the Inner Circle turn on Jericho, and Jericho is on his merry way.
And do you think, like, on his merry way is as an out of the company, or no, on just to, like, on to other new comedy things. Baby face roles?
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that.
Think if this were WWE booking, yes, that would happen at the pay-per-view. But I think AEW tends to slow burn things a little more. So I do think, yeah, MJF's going to win. MJF's going to win dirty. And that's how the story moves forward, is MJF. The Inner Circle begrudgingly having to let him in, and the whatever strife in character relationships that moves forward from there.
But do you think MJF, he would make a future play for Mutiny?
Maybe. He might make a play, and maybe it'll work, and maybe it won't. Maybe the group will splinter. Maybe they'll stick to Jericho. Maybe they won't. I mean,
okay.
Fair enough. It just kind of seems weird for that to happen, just because of how much everybody else hates him.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
We're going to have the Inner Circle and the Inner Circle Wolf Pack.
Inner Circle Hollywood and Inner Circle Wolf Pack.
That's exactly what.
All right. Next match on the card is Hikaru Shida, the champion, taking on Nyla Rose for the AEW Women's World Championship. Nyla's got Vicky Guerrero in her corner. Do you think that affects things?
I don't. Can I get a stat check real quick on this? Stat check aisle 3. Is this a rubber band match?
I don't know. She's defended Nyla. Yeah,
But she's defended it since then.
Yes, she has. I don't know.
And I don't know if they had a match.
Did they have a second encounter?
I don't think so.
Second encounter was the title defense.
I think that might be correct.
Yeah. Or the when she took it.
Yeah, I don't know if that was. I feel like if this was a rubber match, they would have been hyping it as such. But this
it's also been a while. If it is, one. Yeah, because like I said, she defended it against Thunder Rosa and I think one other person.
The reason I asked that question is because the way they're playing the storyline now, and that taking into account that The women's wrestling storylines in AEW are fucking micro stories in comparison to anything.
Yeah.
But the way that this one has been feeling is this feels awfully like a final battle between these two women. And it feels like a rubber band match. And I was just curious if I was getting that vibe because it is, or maybe it's just the odd way that they're booking this.
I don't know for certain.
Because there's, like, other than, like, the fact that they've wrestled before for the title, I don't feel like there's really much backstory there. And I find that to be really disheartening.
Yeah, it's sort of just Nyla Rose being like, but I'm the baddest motherfucker here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what else is she supposed to do, though? I don't know.
That's the thing. Weird. Like, there's nothing there. There's no reason for me to grab on as a fan to care about the match. And I want to. I really do.
I mean, they're going to put on an awesome match.
That's definitely the case. Like, as performers, they're both awesome. I just wish they had a story to play off of to just give it that extra oomph.
Yeah. Well, they all can't be home runs, man.
Well, that's true. I just wish any of the women's division was a home run.
That's true. I mean, I've been enjoying Britt Baker.
The Britt Baker heel turn has been very fun to watch, and it's been cool to watch her grow as a performer, too.
Definitely.
And what were you going to say?
I kind of felt like Britt Baker was headed to, challenge Shida.
They put her on Cloud 9 and they just took her to the top, and then like she had the big match with Swole. She had the big rivalry with Swole that went awesome. Mm-hmm. And then just like she just kind of fizzled out again. And that's such a bummer.
Yeah. So it's weird. It's like she was like more prominent on the show when like her face was broken than not. So like I thought that was where they were headed, and maybe they still are, but I feel like I have a tough time seeing Nyla just like losing twice in a row to Shida on pay-per-view.
I agree with that.
You know?
I think this is going to be a title swap. I do.
Yeah.
But who's like But if yeah, it's kind of weird though, because Britt Baker's the heel now.
Yeah.
And if the heel, if there's a heel champion, she's definitely not going to get.
My prediction for storyline
there happening.
If you want, if we want to take this WrestleCast to the next level and talk future predictions,
let's do it.
If we're thinking in like 20, you know, we're, you know, like a week or two past 2020 where we are, I'm thinking that we're going to see a Chris Statlander comeback and challenge at Revolution for the title against Nyla Rose.
Perhaps.
I bet you we get a Statlander comeback soon.
I don't know. I feel like
I don't know about soon.
Like only, still out for a while.
Yeah, only because I follow her on Instagram, so I know that she's definitely not coming back soon.
Oh, really? Okay, never
mind. Yeah.
See, I don't follow her. I don't even. I do. Truth be told, I do have an Instagram, but I do not use it.
Me neither.
So, like, I don't keep up with her. Unfortunately, I am a fan. I just don't use that platform.
Yeah. No, like she posts about that all the time because it was kind of wild. Like she. She hadn't been able to use it for months, so like she showed like an atrophy kind of picture of like,
right.
You know, like showing how different the size of her legs are now.
Right.
Or not now. I mean, she's working out again, but like it was like a month ago kind of thing. It was like,
I guess in closing, my rant here is I really think that AEW has a really, really strong women's roster. And I don't think that they're using it even remotely properly yet.
Not at all.
No. It's very hodgepodge.
I'm hoping that them getting an extra couple hours on TV here soon opens up the card time a little bit, and we get more than 5 minutes at 9:30 every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to see where that goes.
Yeah.
Agreed. Moving on. Next match is Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara in the Elite Deletion match. Ooh. Which will apparently be taking place at the Hardy compound, so you can expect a cinematic match here.
I guess.
Oh, it's a cinematic match. Okay, so if two it's things about that.
Match, if it's one, cinematic match,
they no had to do die, that.
So that's great.
They had to do it that way so they could get all the way bell to bell. That was the only way that these two human beings were going to get bell to bell in the ring together. If it's at the Hardy compound, the weird wackadoo shit that Matt Hardy has done on his home turf has been excellent television to watch. I did not know that this was a cinematic match at the Hardy compound. I thought this was going to be live. The fact that it's cinematic, in my opinion, makes it infinitely better. And that's weird for me to say.
Well, we're not going to see anybody get like a life-threatening concussion.
There's not going to be anything in the cinematic match that's going to literally take the steam out of the evening.
Do you think that there will be multiple versions of Matt Hardy?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you
cinematic match? He's going to go ham, dude. I'm telling you.
There's going to be cameos. I'll say that.
I bet you there's not only going to be cameos, but I bet you we see some kind of weird iteration of multiple Sammys.
I was about to say that. What if MJF joining the inner circle just means he's replacing Sammy? Because like something weird as hell is about to happen in this. Like Matt Hardy's going to delete this version of Sammy Guevara because he's too dangerous or something stupid. I don't know. It could be awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like with Matt Hardy, like so that's the thing, right? Matt Hardy caught a lot of flack for going back out in front of the cameras at the last pay per view. AEW caught a lot of flack for letting him do it and airing the footage.
Deservedly.
Right. Yeah, right. So they were both wrong there. Matt, but that doesn't take away from the fact that Matt Hardy is a confirmed fucking carny.
Oh,
and
God,
you
yeah.
know that when he has his fingers, especially on his home turf, in the creative process of whatever this cinematic match ends up being, it's going to be a fucking gold mine. It's going to be amazing, and you're going to have to watch it four times to catch everything.
My only question, I'm wondering if they're going to find some way, some loophole to get a Jeff Hardy appearance, possibly as Willow or some other alternate character. I'm sure WWE would never allow it, but it makes me wonder. Yeah.
There's no way.
Jeff Hardy appeared. But that's the thing. I don't know what's going on with Jeff Hardy in WWE right now. I know he's had a couple of matches recently that have been pretty big. But, like, isn't he also coming up on the end of his legitimate contract?
I don't know. I don't follow their contracts.
No, he just resigned.
Oh, I was just going to say, is he in the no fucks given zone? Like, has he entered that realm yet?
No.
He definitely resigned and working there long.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. So anyway, I think this is where Matt finally puts Sammy over, right?
It has to be.
I think so. I think that's, this is where you put over the younger talent. Like
Sammy catching a win at the Hardy compound is a very, very big boost too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Sammy wasn't going to win, why would you drag this feud back out after All Out?
It has to be something about him moving forward. Yeah.
If the end of the storyline was going to be Matt triumphing, that would have ended at All Out with Sammy going through the stage off the scaffolding.
See, that's where I disagree. I think that they knew that match was tainted, and they knew they had to do something clean to make that legacy of matches live on.
I mean, it was obviously the finish, though, because it was already set up.
Sure. Yeah.
No, I agree that was the finish, but it was tainted in the fact that, like, there was a lot of obvious controversy around that match. No. And I think that they knew when he went back out that was the risk that they were taking.
Mm. Well, regardless, this is going to probably be the best match of the show for me, I think.
It'll probably be the most entertaining match of the show, if nothing else. Funny.
Yeah. Should be a good contrast to some of the more dramatic matches that are coming up the card here.
Or some of the more hard-hitting, like the next one on the list. I'm sure this is going to main event, but they have it listed fourth. Jon Moxley defending the AEW World Championship versus Eddie Kingston in an I Quit match. This match is going to be violent.
Yes. It very, very, very much so.
I am expecting color in this match.
Oh, without a doubt. This match, as of tonight, got real, real personal.
Great promos.
Matt, what did you think of the promo?
I missed it.
Amazing. It's like the one thing in Dynamite he actually had to walk away for, and it was the fucking Moxley Kingston promo.
Oh, man. I was muted for it, but at least I saw it.
that promo was one of the better pieces of television AEW's put on in a while. Mm-hmm. It was definitely Jon Moxley's best promo to date in the company.
God, if only he had some writers to help him out with it.
Yeah,
I made that joke 2 hours ago, but no one could hear me.
unbelievable promo. Kingston, as we've learned from BTE, can put over a bag of Sour Patch Kids. So, we know his mic is golden no matter what. Moxley pretty typically has a good mic. I wouldn't say it's always golden. There's always, something left to be desired. But this one, man, they both came out firing on all cylinders, and I think they really knocked it out of the park. I want to see Moxley retain real bad, just because I think Moxley's going to go really well hand in hand with my prediction for later down the card.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is going to be a match where we see Moxley more up against the ropes than he's ever been.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Like, Eddie Kingston is just so good at conveying emotion and working a match. And that dude is so good. I'm so glad they signed him. I could listen to him talk for hours. He's incredible. This is going to be a great match. But I think Moxley retains after a war, after a fucking war.
It's not going to stay in the ring.
Not a chance.
No way.
It's going to be Matt lucky classic. If it stays in Daly's place. It's going to be lucky if it stays in Daly's place. It's going to be lucky if it doesn't wind up somewhere near the football stadium. I think that match
yard line.
I think that match is easily 25 minutes plus.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm sure all the matches are going to get a good amount of time.
God damn it. Oh, so excited. And there's more matches to talk about.
There are more matches. There's three more matches. The next one is FTR with Tully Blanchard taking on the Young Bucks for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. And if the Young Bucks lose, they will never challenge for the Tag Team Championship again, which I think is their way of saying the Young Bucks are going to win this one.
I don't know, man.
I think they already did the person loses and honors it with Cody, I think I don't like this gimmick at all. I don't like the "we'll never challenge again" gimmick. Like,
although I hate it. I hate it.
It also doesn't make any sense because that's like a babyface thing, and they're like in the middle of a heel turn, and that's like a babyface thing to be like, "Oh, okay, fine." You know, they're supposed to agree to that. It's like the weirdest fucking move to be like a heel and go like, "Yeah, if we lose, we'll never do it again." It doesn't feel right.
What if they go back on their word because they're just so heely? I don't know, man. Like, it's interesting because they did establish that precedent with Cody challenging last year and losing, and he's saying he'll never challenge that title ever. I mean, maybe it's just a way for them to write their way out of constantly being in the title picture. I mean, like, the Bucks
challenged... They haven't really been in the title picture.
The Bucks challenged SCU before Christmas last year. They challenged,
at Revolution.
They're constantly in number one contender matches.
Just feels like they haven't been as prominent in the title picture.
Well, that's what I was just gonna say. They were the first challengers and they lost to Kenny and Hangman.
Yeah.
If they do the full tilt heel push, if they go full tilt, like, you know, Bullet Club style Young Bucks, it's going to be expected that they're at the top of the card. And if they don't want to constantly be fighting the stigma of we're the VPs, but we're also in title contention, much of what Cody is seeing with the TNT belt, much of which is coming from me, I think he's had it way too long.
It's absurd. We'll
talk about that later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hate to see them use this weird gimmick twice, especially exactly 1 year after itself. But, like, I don't know if I see the Bucks winning this. As much as it sucks to say, right? This is like the tag match of the millennium. I think there is too many factors, especially with Tully Blanchard being in the corner. I think there's too many factors that point at the Bucks taking an L. But I think that's also maybe where they want me to be mentally as a fan, which is a real problem for me because I know that. I would like to see the Bucks come out with somebody in their corner.
Brandon Cutler.
That I was thinking that. I don't know how insane that is.
It's very insane.
Thinking that.
You get Brandon Cutler versus Tully Blanchard.
I think the Bucks coming out with somebody in their corner would definitely make it feel better.
Hmm. Yeah, but they're working the whole Matt. It's got a fibial. What was it?
Fibial contusion. It's beyond contused. Okay,
they've got the stipulation plus all these contusions.
Dude, it's so contused. It's fibial ridiculous.
Contusion.
Mm.
Oh, fucking stupid!
Like, they have all this stuff stacked against them, but they just finished kicking Tony Schiavone in the face. It's such a weird move. Like, I'm so confused by it.
I think they're still playing the faces in this role because they're going against FTR. It makes me wonder if we might see a double turn where the Bucks go full heel and FTR kind of become sympathetic in some way.
Yeah. It's also the FTR, like, just won the belts. It feels like, you know.
Yeah.
So
they've only had a couple matches with them.
Yeah.
It's tough to say the Bucks will never challenge for the titles again. It's also tough to see FTR losing them already. Like,
I hate FTR. I know you guys like them. I can't stand them.
No, it's okay. You're supposed to. That's the deal.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
I guess. I just they're irritating. Yeah. But I don't know. I can go either way.
It could go either way, but I think FTR is going to retain. That's my pick, I guess. Got to make one, and that's what it is. FTR retains.
Sounds good.
What if they lose and they change their names?
To RTF?
No. What if, I'm sorry, the Young Bucks lose and they're not allowed to challenge again, so they have to change their name.
The Bucks of youth.
They become the Old Bucks. Do
something. Yeah, become
a different thing. I think their brand of Young Bucks is way too strong for them to pull something like that. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just drop the Young and they're just the Bucks.
It's called the Bucks now. We the Bucks.
Because they're not exactly super young anymore.
That is true. They do love making new t-shirts.
They do.
Merch.
I don't know. I just thought of that. Figured I'd throw it out there.
It's a good thought. But next match on the card is Cody taking on Darby Allin for the AEW TNT Championship. I see Darby. I think he could win this one. I think
please,
they've been
please.
Darby has to win this match. Please.
Like what? Darby's he had a draw against Cody, he's lost against him twice. This has to be the moment for Darby. Yeah. And also the moment for Cody to get the fuck away from that belt, right?
He just needs to get out of the picture for a little while.
That fucking Brody Lee match was just like
so deflating.
Yeah, man.
But the first one was so cathartic.
Yeah, I know, that is true. That is true. I don't know. Go back and watch that first one
again.
Darby Allin better win this goddamn match.
Yeah, I mean, I could see.
Darby has earned his spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I could easily see Cody, you know, moving back into to a rubber match with Brody once Brody shows back up on TV again. So Cody, you know, he could move back to that for his next feud, his next big match.
You think but Brody could like, get involved here?
He could.
The big return.
I don't think he will. I think.
Darby needs to win moment, legitimately, think, yeah.
Like, if like, my God, this will suck the energy out of me. Like, Matt Hardy getting a concussion if Darby loses this match.
If Darby loses this match, that is a serious problem in AEW's booking direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that might be something for the first time that I might actually tweet at the company and be like, you guys need to fucking fix this. This is stupid.
Yeah, this, like...
Fix it.
It's already kind of, you know, absurd. Like I'm not saying like Cody has good matches and he has had some great matches and great storylines in AEW, but like I feel like his superhero TNT championship run like thing has run its course. Like I am sick of him getting this giant entrance on every fucking Dynamite.
My God.
Like it is.
It's so long now.
Ridiculous compared to what everybody else gets. It's like
I feel like the sound effect intro that he gets before the music starts gains 5 seconds every time every week.
It's getting longer and longer, man.
Dude, like, do you think you're the biggest star in the company? Like, I don't think he is. I don't know what the numbers are that they look at.
Maybe that's the character he's going with, where he thinks he is the best. Maybe this is where Cody. Yeah. Finally, you know, goes full heel against Darby Allin.
Yeah, I mean, you know that people are going to be more behind Darby for this match. I think he's going to be playing the heel, but yeah, I think this is, come on. They've had this rivalry going. He can't go 0-3-1 against fucking Darby here. Come on now.
No.
Darby's got to win.
Yeah.
So we're all in agreement that Darby has to win this one.
It was almost a parody to see that entrance as he was about to have a wrestling match with Billy Gunn and John Silver. It made me laugh out loud. I was like, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
This is outrageous.
It's a little embarrassing, dude. Like, just walk out the goddamn tunnel. Like, you don't need the pyro. You don't need the... Yeah, come on.
Jesus. Just walk out.
I'm hoping he loses the. If you want my slight future prediction here, I think that Cody drops the belt. I think he goes heel at that point, and I think that's where we see some iteration of the Four Horsemen that they've been alluding to forever.
That's true. They have been doing that, huh?
It's been a long time. They've been alluding to that before.
That's true. Well, you know, it's one of those things where they started alluding, like what, probably. Before early on in the pandemic, and then everything went on hold. So,
yeah. Well, final match on the card. This could be a potential match of the year. Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega, where the winner receives a future world championship match. This is the World Championship Eliminator Tournament final. It has been a long road for both guys. It has been a long story.
Obviously, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where do you see this going?
I see this as match of the year for AEW. I think this is without a doubt the best match on the card. I think we're going to see both of these guys turn out performances that are above and beyond anything we've seen out of them recently. They've worked together for years across different continents. They know each other's ins and outs. I think they're going to put on one of the better shows of the year. I think Kenny's going to walk away with this because I think Kenny's going to go full heel at Full Gear. I think he's going to do the full cleaner turn. I think we're going to see the silver hair. I think we're going to see the aviators. I think we're going to see the black leather jacket. I think we're going to see the full nine. I think going back to what I was saying earlier, I think this is where Moxley is down the line, probably at Revolution, going to end up handing the reins of, you know, the big platinum over to Kenny as a heel at that point. That's kind of where I see all of this going.
I agree with everything you just said, except I don't know if he'll be full cleaner at Saturday night, but I think everything else is true.
Okay.
I think
that's fair. The cleaner thing's a bit of a hope, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. but yeah, I think it's going to be a tremendous match. I think that Kenny is going to win because I think Kenny is headed for the world title. And I think I mentioned this when we were watching something like a few weeks ago. It's like, yeah, I think Kenny is the guy to beat Moxley. And then down the road, maybe a year away, is we see Hangman versus Kenny again. And that maybe that's Hangman's moment. Finally, Hangman is so good, by the way, like just like his character work on BTE and on the show and in the ring and over the course of the past year, like the emotion he shows is just absolute fucking top tier. And
he just wants a buddy to throw watermelons out of the back of a pickup truck with.
Yeah. And I think they, you know, the crowds and the people caught on with Hangman, you know, they were catching on with him towards the end of last year when he was breaking away from the Elite and he started being an alcoholic. But, you know, he shows a lot of emotion that people can relate to. And, you know, it's definitely down the line. I think they want to have an arena full of people for when Hangman has his big moment. So I would still expect that to be a long way down the road. Yeah. But yeah, I think Kenny wins tonight.
I mean, go back to what you were saying about his push at the end of, you know, normal times before the pandemic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cowboy shit was one of the loudest chants you would hear every single week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He was over and still is. He's over big, big, big.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's going to get all, like, emotional and then Kenny's just going to fucking destroy him?
Perhaps.
I kind of do because it looks like... It looks like we're going to see Adam Page retain the babyface role. I think the Full Gear match is going to be his, like, quote unquote, come to Jesus moment. Cause I think he's going to take an L there. And I think that's going to hurt him mentally, you know, in story. And then I think we're going to see the kind of what Tim was saying, the beginning of the uprising of Hangman Adam Page's real time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see. I honestly agree with you, Adam. I see him going. I don't necessarily think he's going to go back to the cleaner. I think he's going to evolve into something new, but with the same attitude.
Okay. Similar. Okay. Yeah.
Do you think that the ladies with the brooms and the previous matches are just kind of a send off as opposed to a hint?
I think it's kind of a red herring where they want you to think he's going cleaner, and I think he's going to switch it up and just do something different.
Okay.
But either way, I think he's winning.
I'd be interested in seeing it because I think anything he's going to put together, like I said, I think he's an ace performer. So I think anything he's got up his sleeve, if he does come out with something new, is going to be cool regardless. So I'm excited to see what it is.
It's the same exact gimmick, but he's called the sterilizer and it's white leather.
It's kind of sanitizer.
The sanitizer. Dude, that's so good. He just comes out and he's so wet. He's just ridiculously wet. It's covered in sanitizer.
Soaking wet. I'm so disinfected.
Yeah. 99.9% germ free.
Oh man, that'd be pretty good.
Dumps hand sanitizer on instead of body oil, he's using.
Yeah, he like takes a weird spin on the Turkish body oil style of Michael Nakazawa and just goes full Purell. Oh god, that's so horrible. Your eyes
so bad.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's just like one slip and just like your eyes are ruined for a week.
Oh my god. Well, no matter how you look at it, this looks to be a hell of a pay-per-view.
Oh my god. Yeah.
We've also been promised a run-in somewhere in the card with Team Taz.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Yeah, that's right. FTW.
Team Taz is going to show up somewhere.
And we also had our first inkling of the bastard Pac being back on the scene. So we don't know if we're going to get an appearance out of him or some kind of promo out of him during Full Gear. But the promo that he just did on Dynamite was not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really creepy. Seems like he's got
to be close to ready to be back.
Oh, yeah. I hope so. Yeah. I love him. What match do you think the FTW or Team Taz thing's going to happen?
I don't know if they'll be in a match or they'll just be like a segment in the middle between things.
You don't think they're just going to come out after a match and do something?
I think it'll be like a
transitional thing. I'm slightly concerned that Cody's going to retain because of a run-in from Ricky Starks.
No.
Yeah, wouldn't that be the
WWE
worst?
Booking?
Oh, yes, shut the fuck is. Up, Adam. Don't you dare.
Put that into the
ether. Why did you do that?
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Bad Adam.
Yeah, well.
Go lay down.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll get my own papers. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, that's the card. Any other thoughts? Any other predictions? Do you see any surprise people showing up? I know there's been some rumors.
Oh, yeah, about Sting, apparently.
Yeah, oh, first off, yeah, that's a stupid rumor. Sting's like 70 fucking four. Can we give him a break?
It doesn't mean that he's going
to
wrestle.
The guy needs to go. Speaking of people need going to bed, let the motherfucker go to bed. He's just old.
Now he comes back as fucking Surfer Sting in his 70s. I'm into it.
If he comes back as 90s Surfer Sting, I'll be okay with it. That's the only way I'm okay with it.
That would be amazing.
I don't think Sting's going to be anywhere near it. AEW has a tendency to do a debut at pay-per-views. I watch a shit ton of wrestling news, and normally by now I would have at least heard some kind of rustling in the underbrush. Right. I haven't heard of anything, so I don't know if we're gonna get one this time.
If
we are, they have kept it really tight.
Yeah,
said it before. Brock Lesnar comes out.
That's true. Vince McMahon would shit himself in real time. Yeah.
That would be incredible to see.
Happen. I don't know. I would just like to see at the end, like, just Sting standing in the rafters, but 90s Sting standing in the rafters. No, just Sting like, his gimmicks up and just being like, what is happening?
Just like out of nowhere, just like the pay-per-view is going amazing. Everybody's having a good time. And it's just like the lights go out. And it's like, if you smell. And it's like, what the Jesus. Fuck is happening here?
That would blow people's minds. I still remember when The Rock first came back to host WrestleMania, how many years ago, like no one had any clue that it was going to be announced as him. And they hyped it up and there was like electricity pumping and then all the lights went out and you heard, if you and the crowd went ape. It's probably one of the greatest pops I've ever heard in my life.
What was that? Was that like WrestleMania 22 or something?
It was like 6 years ago.
Or so 22, 25?
I think he still wrestled
at. Oh, 25. I guess it would have been 25, probably.
He hosted. It was like 26, 27, something.
Yeah, it was the one where Cena and The Miz main evented.
Yeah. I watched a video on the biggest crowd pops of all time, and that made the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, it was electrifying. There's no other way to put it. It was.
Do you know what the biggest one still apparently, according to these people's ideals, is the biggest crowd pop in wrestling history? That'll be a fun fact to end this on. What do you guys think?
According to who?
According to several places actually, but specifically WrestleTalk and What Culture.
And they agreed on the same one.
They both had the same one for the biggest wrestling pop fan pop of all time.
I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan turning on the Wyatt family because that was huge.
That was huge. Two big ones.
That was in the top three, yeah.
Two big ones I think of were when the Hardys returned
at
that WrestleMania. That was insane.
Okay.
Also, and this is a bit maybe a bit more out there, but the Dean Malenko unmasking in WCW against Chris Jericho. That was nuts. That's probably not. But that one was also huge. That was crazy.
So, Matt, what do you think?
I'm going to pick something super old, like WrestleMania 3 or something.
All right.
Like Hogan slamming Andre.
If you're going
you're
old.
You're in the right arena. You're not right, but you're in the right the thought process.
I was going to say, if it's an older one, wasn't Davey Boy Smith in Wembley like one of the loudest?
That is the one.
There it is.
That is the one. Davey Boy Smith capturing the Intercontinental Gold at Wembley Stadium.
That's because there were like 400,000 people there.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to be louder than just the normal arena.
And it was in England. So every single human being in that building erupted when British Bulldog took the gold.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah. Fun facts. Hey. I like wrestling news.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of news, we have some actual news we got to get to. So I'm going to let y'all get going and we're going to take a quick break. We will be back with more show. Do any of you have any final words to wrap this up?
Happy bye.
Spread love to each other. That's all.
Cody Rhodes must be stopped.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes must be stopped at all costs. That neck tattoo cannot continue its reign of terror.
Wait, what's getting explained?
Aki is saying I have two shits.
Yeah, 2 cents, 2 shits.
Oh, I get you.
I was going to say, he doesn't have any more shits because he just flushed them.
Well, we haven't heard that yet, so.
But then it's Jacob, and then I'm like, I didn't say it because I thought, no, he's so full of shit that dropping two wouldn't be enough. Well, I'd be
full of shit if I just emptied
myself. Exactly, you're so full of shit that just dropping two big shits wouldn't even be enough. You'd just be like, nope, still full.
That has odd philosophical intentions. I mean, but if I take a shit, can I really be full of shit anymore?
Yes. Because you're an endless cycle of shit.
But then wouldn't I be some sort of like a perpetual machine then?
And?
Which is impossible.
I mean, technically, if you eat on the toilet, you're reloading a shit gun. I'm just saying.
This is awful. So what's up, everybody? Welcome back. Thanks again to the Wrasslecast crew for being on and chatting wrestling. Thanks to Adam and Matt and Tim. Cole, you weren't there, but you're here now.
Fuck no. I wouldn't have no Wrasslecast. The fuck do I look like? Redneck?
God. Yes. Yes, you do.
You don't know that because I don't use cameras.
You don't need a camera to tell.
Huh.
All we need to do is hear.
That's insensitive. You're stereotyping me.
That's kind of racist, Joe. Jeez.
It's honky. Redneckist. I don't have to take this kind of abuse. I'm leaving you with Aki and Jacob for the night.
Oh, thank God.
That's fine.
This is more of a reward for me than a punishment for you, but what the fuck ever. Same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. So how is everyone doing? Aki's here. Jacob's here. How's everyone doing?
Pretty good. I'm almost done with the main campaign for Assassin's Creed Origins, finally.
Hmm.
Oh, it took forever for me to play this. I love it.
Jacob, what have you been up to?
I mean, playing my games that I'm reviewing tonight, but also I'm still going at Yakuza 2. I want to try to finish it before the new game comes out. I don't think I'm going to get to, but...
I'll stop fucking around in the hostess club and finish the game, and maybe you will.
I'm not. No, it's worse. Like, all right, so I don't know how familiar you folks are with Yakuza, but, like, so there's this, like, orphan girl that, like, is like, oh, Uncle Kaz, blah, 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 blah. And, like, she's visiting me, And like she, before she goes back to the orphanage, she needs to, like, she wants to go off and do a bunch of crap around the city. And it's like, it is a ton of crap. And it's like, oh, well, I want to go to a restaurant and I want to eat like blah, blah, blah. And, or I want to go to the casino and watch you play blackjack and like win 800 chips or something like that. Or I want to go, I want you to go to the arcade and play three rounds of virtual on and win. And it's just like, holy crap, kid. Like, I kind of just want to, I don't even care what the outcome is. Like, I really just want to drop you off at the orphanage. Like, there's a reason you're there. Like, and not just damn, because your parents are dead. Like, God.
Okay, so you're not a kid person. Alrighty then.
I've got two kids.
No wonder you're not a kid person.
Yeah, none of my kids would, like, do this, like, list of demands. They know better.
A likely story.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh my God.
I well, just it's... deny every single request. Please, Father, we'd like some bread.
No.
More? More? No one boy has ever asked for more.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Speaking about more, you know what needs more? The Xbox Series S needs more hard drive space. Have you guys heard how much usable space is on this thing?
No.
Wasn't it 1 terabyte or something? I thought that was for both of them. No, the Series
S.
No, it's only got a 512 in it, doesn't it?
Yeah, usable space, 364.
Oh, yeah.
So basically what that is you can put the new Call of Duty game on there and maybe one indie game, and then that's all you can have on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I mean, for dude bros, that's okay though.
No, because there's more than one Call of Duty. They need more. And the newest one is like 250 something gigs.
No, it's not.
That's what I heard.
No,
the new one was going to be that big.
It's like 175 or something, and that's only if you're installing all the 4K stuff, which the Series S wouldn't even be able to install.
Yeah, the Series S version is going to be 136.
Damn, that's still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I think the biggest thing is that, one, they expect you, if you have a library of older games, to already have those on an external and not be putting those on your internal drive. And two, they want you to buy the damn expansion cards.
Mm-hmm.
And to that I say, I spent a disgustingly long time with the standard 500 gig internal hard drive. So I'm not the person to, like, bitch about this. Like, it doesn't matter to me if it doesn't have a shit ton of storage, because I just download and install games at the, on the fly anyway. It only takes me 5 or 6 minutes to download something.
No.
And I'm like, I don't care. But I get that other people are bothered by it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have that luxury.
Yeah, I can see where their thinking is with it, but also I can see why other people. So I'm just kind of like the moot neutral here. I'm like, eh.
Oh my God, you guys. Did you hear that? Cole can empathize with people.
Don't listen to her. That was a lie. that was a lie. We all
Jacob,
know
I don't know why you're so quiet tonight. I don't get it.
Because he's down in the toilet.
I'm not in the toilet.
Got the lid pulled down. He's scared.
Is this better?
Not really. No. Like, compared to everyone else, you're just super quiet. I don't get it.
Give your microphone a little lick and a kiss. It's fine.
No, don't do that.
That's how you get the Ronas. Jesus.
My phone's now asking me if we're a couple.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Not on Facebook yet. Not Facebook official, so it doesn't count.
I don't know what my wife is going to say.
Oh my God.
She married you, so she probably doesn't have a chance to say anything. She just walk away. She just sees you, shakes her head a little bit, and just saunters off sadly.
We're never getting through the news, are we? We're just going to just keep shitting all over Jacob, aren't we?
Yeah, this is. Well, I don't know what you thought you were going to get. Oh, he's loud now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
We did color me surprised.
Anyway, the Series S isn't the only system struggling for space. The PS5 usable space is only going to be 667 gig.
I'm sad they didn't just go all in on the 666.
I know. It makes you wonder if it was at 666 and they're like, you know what? Compress something.
Compress something. You know it was.
I really would like it if they just gave us decent, reasonable hard drive space for the people who don't have all the money in the world. I mean, I would have happily, I'd happily spend a little bit more just to have reasonable download space on the actual fucking system.
Group, you're saying that's why they have 10 terabyte on the PS4. That's why I have 16 terabyte on my fucking Xbox One out in the living room.
I have two.
I just, I have too many games. And 1 terabyte on the Series X is just not going to do it for me at all.
And you have to think that the further we go into this generation, the bigger the fucking games are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's within a year or two, all the games are going to be like 150, 200 gigs big at least easily.
Yeah, it's getting gross.
I think with a lot of what we're going to see more of is the ability to break games up and not install it all at once. I mean, we already see that with Call of Duty. Halo's been doing it with the Master Chief Collection for a while. I don't think it's going to be standard issue where you buy a 200 gig game and have all 200 gig installed at once. If you only install the multiplayer of Cold War, it's going to be 50 gig. So that's a far cry from keeping 208 gig or 175 gig or whatever it's going to be otherwise all on your hard drive, you know?
I mean,
it's just all the games are going to add up and, you know.
That's the thing, though. Like, we talk about all the games add up. And I know you're like, oh, I got 16 gig and I need all the space. And I get it, but we're outliers. We are not the norm for players on Xbox or anything. Even with Game Pass, most people will be like, I see people on Twitter who are like, they got 12 games in their library and they're like, my backlog. And I'm like, fuck off.
That was last week.
You know, but we're outliers.
Halo Master Chief Collection is 110.
But you're not going to have Horizon
is 75. Gears 5 is 65. That's 3 games right there.
Yeah, but
three popular games.
That's just it, though. Halo Master Chief Collection isn't 3 games. It's like, what, 4 games in one now? 5 of them?
Five or six, still one game.
Most people are only going to install whichever one they're working on. It's not. Well, I don't, then for there's most also people, the it is not the issue that you them. Think it is.
I think it is.
Well, I mean,
I think just, it's going
just look
to
at
be.
Origins, it's what, like 70 something gigs? Just AC Origins? It's not like you have a choice of other stuff to remove from that. It's either the game's there or the game's not. And that's just one game. And I think that's like 70 or 80 gigs, I think. Could be
Grand
wrong,
Theft Auto is over 100. You know, if people have Grand Theft Auto, Call of Duty, and Forza on their console, it's full.
Yeah, I would like more. I mean, single-player games are getting bigger and bigger as time goes on just because they make things look better. They make the games somewhat bigger sometimes. You know, even single-player games just keep expanding how big they are. Eventually, they're going to be 100-plus gigs just on their own without the DLC even.
I mean, that's what we're at. Call of Duty Black Ops on current-gen consoles on the Xbox One is 93 gig, and on the PS4 is 95 gig.
I wonder why there's a difference.
I don't know.
Weird. Like, yeah, I mean,
That's like next gen. PS5 is 133. The Xbox is 136.
Yeah.
That's just, they add up. Even if you break it down and delete parts of it, it's still going to add up, and people aren't going to have as many games as they want on their console.
I mean, you could say that about 16 gig, too. It's eventually going to add up if you keep filling it up. I mean, but most people aren't going to do that. That's like, we can sit and bitch about it until the cows come home, but realistically, they've done the market research on it, and they know how much people are using and how much is going to cause a problem and push people into not having enough storage.
Yeah, that's why they're selling the expandable stuff.
But again, I mean, they're not going to
make money off of it.
They have to take into consideration that most people are not going to go and buy 6 of those, you know?
No, but so even buying one is another $200.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's half the price of the console.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have just liked them just putting that in there because, and then letting us buy just one that has more memory on it and just not have those in the first place, because that gives you more memory and then you don't have to buy this extra crap, and it probably wouldn't have increased the console's price all that much more.
I don't know where you're going with that, but anyway, they also confirmed for the PS5 that you will not be able to back up games to back up PS5 games to external USB storage like you're able to on the Series X and Series S.
Fucking yikes.
What'd you say, Jacob?
I said fucking yikes.
Yeah. You have to delete and re-download, so that's a bummer for PlayStation gamers. And they are also saying that the SSD expansion bay will not be supported at launch, and that'll be reserved for a future update, so you cannot expand the memory for the PS5 at launch. There's no way to do it. The at least Xbox, you can buy a $200 memory card and get more space.
Yeah. I just can't wait. Microsoft said they were going to let other groups start making them too.
Yeah, we'll see. So
hopefully they'll get a little cheaper.
We'll see. Some more Call of Duty news. A lot more exclusive bonuses were announced for PlayStation players, and this situation is getting out of hand quickly. PlayStation players that buy the $20 Battle Pass get an additional 5 tier skips from 20 to 25. PlayStation players in parties will receive a 25% bonus to XP. PlayStation players will get exclusive monthly double XP events, and PlayStation players will get 2 additional loadout slots.
See, I just like it if everyone on Xbox just decided to say fuck you and just refuse to buy the goddamn game. It ain't ever gonna happen, but that'd be nice. Teach them to stop doing that bullshit.
Well, it's looking like things like that are starting to backfire because Square Enix has reported a 6.5 billion or billion yen loss. Yeah, $6.5 billion. No, 6.5 billion yen loss for their HD games division driven by Marvel's Avengers. It's been implied that the game cost over $100 million to make with only about 3 million sales.
Well, I don't know if that was because of Sony or if that was just because the game is not particularly good.
I mean, the game isn't that great, but a lot of backlash was there about the Spider-Man issue, and I think that definitely played a role in it.
Yeah, I'm certain it did.
Yeah, I mean, I think Joe's right on that part. I mean, that's actually why I'm just like, yeah, I'm not playing your game. I mean, like, there's no point, like, I think it's absolutely dumb for them to release a game that is not going to be complete for a certain console set. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I could deal with like a 6 month, a 1 year exclusive for some of the DLC, but if it's just straight up never going to get released, then why the fuck am I going to buy it? Like, that's dumb. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
they can go take a flying fuck up a pole. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Take a flying fuck up a pole.
Yep.
All right. The latest trailer for Godfall on the PS5 shows that it is exclusive, quote, until at least May 12th, 2021. So Godfall will most likely jump on the Xbox next year sometime.
Okay. I'm not excited about it, but it's just kind of eh to me, but.
It was something I was eyeing up to buy with the PS5 if we could actually get one. But if it's going to show up on Xbox down the road and most likely a complete edition, I'll just wait.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Fuck it. Some sad news. Take-Two is buying Codemasters for a reported $973 million. So, wow. Yeah, wow. The same day Dirt 5 launches and is fucking fantastic, by the way. They're selling out to Take-Two.
Wow.
That sucks.
Sorry to them, because Take-Two is...
I can't wait for Dirt 2K22.
Oh, no.
That'll be the same as the last one, but it'll cost you $10 more and be buggier.
Yeah, people are saying they can't wait for the F1 2Ks, because that's basically a yearly franchise now, so...
Oy vey.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens there. A Dutch judge ruled that EA should be fined 500,000 euro a week until it removes FIFA loot boxes after the feature was deemed in violation of gambling rules.
Yikes. Yep.
I think it's up to a certain amount because it was
up to 10 million.
That they, yeah, because they were fined that much. They're just taking it out by that much a week. And I hope they get fined a fuck ton.
Well, I thought you just said it was up to 10 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all
right. But so because they're taking it out weekly,
yeah,
they might quit before then.
I don't know. I would just figure EA would just be like, all right, here's your 10 million. Have fun. Fuck off.
I have a feeling that's probably what they're going to do, but then they'll probably just get hit with another lawsuit.
Probably.
And I hope that happens.
If it makes loot boxes go away, I don't care. Loot boxes are gross. I'm getting sick of loot boxes. I'm getting sick of battle passes. I'm just like, give me a complete game.
That'd be nice.
Oh yeah, because Borderlands 3 is doing a season 2 now, aren't they?
Yep.
And you don't get that if you paid for the super deluxe.
No. Whatever it is.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
Thank God I'm not into Borderlands. Oh, thank God.
I bought the goddamn diamond loot chest or whatever loot chest for Borderlands 3. And I would still have to buy season 2 separately. That's shitty.
Yeah, that's how all of them are done, and I hate it. I have a few games that have multiple seasons too, and you have to buy each one of them. I'm just like,
yep.
I'd rather not.
Assume it is not a situation like Rocket League or Call of Duty where you can earn the credits to buy it.
No.
So yeah, fun. Fun stuff. Bless you. More EA news. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order will be joining EA Play on November 10th.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Nice. So, everyone enjoyed that. That was a damn good game. I loved that game.
Yeah. And then sadly, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remaster will not be getting a 10-hour trial.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess abnormal?
Most EA games come with 10-hour trials.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but is the Xbox 360 version on there?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, no, I was just curious. Because I'm just like, well, yeah, then just play the old one on there.
I mean, Burnout Paradise is on there, and the remaster. But Burnout still had a 10-hour trial to it. I guess they just realized people are getting through the game too quick with the 10-hour trials.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Who knows? The demo for Dragon Quest XI: Echoes of an Elusive Age is now available on Xbox, PC, and PS4. The good news is the progress you make will carry over to the full game, and the demo lasts a good 10 hours or so.
That's good.
So yeah, if you want to play some Dragon Quest before it launches next month, you got 10 hours to do it.
That's not bad.
Or as long as you want, really. It's just there's about 10 hours of content there.
I'm not familiar with that game at all.
You should be.
I know. I don't have time to be familiar with anything other than the norm.
Some more sad news. The Medium has been delayed from December to January 28th.
My heart. I'm sad about this because I'm looking forward to the Medium.
Yeah, I guess they didn't want to compete with Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure Cyberpunk's getting another delay anyway, so.
Probably.
No doubt.
Speaking of delays.
I look forward to it at the heat death of the universe.
Yeah, that's still too early. More delay news. Kerbal Space Program 2's release has been delayed into at least 2022, if not early 2023, so don't expect that anytime soon.
First off, I didn't know they were making it.
Yep.
And second off, holy fuck, that is quite a pushback.
Yeah, honestly, I thought it was already out because I had heard that they were making it. I honestly thought it was already out by now.
The dangers of saying you're in development of a game too early, man. Mm-hmm. Damn. Well,
it was supposed to be next year, but they're moving it to fiscal year 2022, which goes into 2023.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying if not early 2023. It could be early 2022 for all we know.
Wow.
We just don't know. Dedicated servers for Friday the 13th, the game, are going away with the latest patch. The game will be peer-to-peer only moving forward.
Is there a reason for that?
Because player base probably sucked.
Mm-hmm. Not enough play. The game always struggled with keeping a player base. Like, if most people were looking to play that genre of horror game, they're going to go for Dead by Daylight over Friday the 13th anyway. So, I mean, it wasn't a surprise to see that. It was broken as shit when it launched on Xbox.
Yeah.
Which was a shame.
I love how afterwards they still release like a collector's edition that came with a Jason mask.
Yeah, they did their damnedest. Just sometimes your damnedest just ain't enough.
Yeah.
But it was always pit against Dead by Daylight, basically. And if I remember correctly, I even reviewed the two at the same time. And it was just like, goddamn. You know? And Dead by Daylight just kind of shit all over Friday the 13th. It just had options for longevity and continued play that Friday the 13th didn't.
Yes.
Oh, it's just like the call dropped and I heard it's like, beep, 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 beep. And then you were like, yes.
All we heard was you go, hello.
Right in the middle of my speaking.
Yeah.
Nice Sorry. Carnage cosplay.
You know what? Whatever. The call dropped for a moment on my end.
You are a dropped call. What's next? What are we talking about now?
Switch worldwide sales have reached over 68 million units.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
That, if anything, if the pandemic has helped anything within gaming, it has been the Switch. And the Switch didn't need it, but still, the pandemic has just been like, enjoy the love for the Switch. And that's all there is to that.
I wonder if scalpers are still doing.
Yes.
Picking up all that shit constantly.
Not quite as severely as they were, but they are. And I would imagine now that lockdowns are starting to happen worldwide again, it's going to get bad again.
Mm-hmm.
Oy vey, why can't scalpers just fuck off?
Yeah. Fucking scalpers. But that's the news I have. Any news anyone else want to talk about?
Well, there's apparently going to be some good news for Mass Effect fans tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
Well, no, one of the higher ups actually said that. So on Twitter,
we put an N7 logo on our Twitch icon or Twitter icon now, and that's all you're gonna get.
Yeah,
I would not be shocked.
Every single year, they're like, "Oh, we've got a big announcement," and it's like, "There's a book coming." It's like, here's a statue. I was like, "Fuck!"
I'm hoping this time it's going to be a remake or remaster, whatever, of the original trilogy. Someone has been hyping that up for a while that works in the industry. So I'm hoping.
Yeah, it's gotten raided in some companies or some countries. So everyone knows the remaster is coming. It just needs to happen.
Yeah.
The worst kept secret.
So bad. I want it so bad. So, so bad.
I've never played Mass Effect.
The fuck is wrong with you?
I have good tasting games. I don't sound like
I'm about
to orgasm, but... No, you don't.
Let Jacob talk. Jesus Christ, no! You two.
Have you heard his voice?
Well, have we heard yours?
Yeah, it's the beacon of joy. Fuck, listen to this. I'm like the angels tickling your eardrums.
No, I'm definitely in the bad place.
Well, yeah, anywhere with a bad place. Shit.
That was good. You almost
finished the sentence. I know. Next time you should the drugs hit, place. And I'm just like, yay! I don't care anymore.
Not any other news, or should we move on to reviews?
Well, I would just like to say, I mean, like, yeah, sure, a Mass Effect remaster trilogy would be great. I'd still rather have Mass Effect Andromeda 2. Like, I'd rather have that than a rehash of games I've already played, you know, countless times. You know, I don't know. I'd rather see them take the series forward than just, you know, make everything prettier.
Yeah. Well, they would have to completely rework Mass Effect 1 because of how dated that is.
Yeah, that game is a bit of a slog, at least in terms of combat, but I don't know. If they announce the trilogy remaster tomorrow, I'm just going to be like, oh, big fucking surprise there.
You're still going to get it.
well, yeah, of course I'm going to get it, but it's like, I mean, at least it would be better than like, oh, here's a book, here's a new comic series, we're throwing you a bone, aren't we? No, not really, thanks. Try again next year. Disappoint me some more, BioWare.
Oh, Lord. All right, so reviews?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Cobra Kai, The Karate Kid Saga Continues, developed by Flux, published by Game Mill Entertainment, released October 27th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $39.99. Choose a side, master your moves, and embrace your destiny in an epic beat-em-up adventure inspired by the hit show. 34 years after the events of the 1984 All-Valley Karate Tournament, the rivalry of Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence continues. The fight is in your hands now. Jacob, tell us about Cobra Kai.
I will fully admit when I am wrong about something. The first time I picked up Cobra... Wait, was that Cole snickering?
No, that was me snickering.
Well, you know what? Fuck you too, Aki.
Jeez, Jacob, not all women sound the same.
Starting to get into territory I am not comfortable going down. You got me beat on that one. I'll give you that, Cole. Anyway.
Cobra Kai. It's just like,
yeah. So I am more than willing to admit when I'm like totally wrong on something. And like the first time I fired up Cobra Kai, I was just like, what the crap is this? Like, because I'll be honest, I originally signed up because I was like, oh, you know, it looks like a terrible cash-in game. You know, it'll be an easy review. Hooray, free game. I get to shit on something for a bit. Blah, 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 blah. So I fired up once and I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. Expectations were met. You know, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was absolute crap. And then I fired up the next day. And I will tell you what, I was totally friggin' wrong about this game. I will say this, the collision detection for the hits and stuff like that is a little bit off, but if you're willing to, like, you know, work with the game and you know, with how janky it can be at times, and I'll admit the graphics are a little subpar, like they're slightly better than like an iPhone game, but not as, you know, they're not exactly up to par for what the Xbox One should have. But I will say this, if you're willing to put in the time and effort on this, I found the combat to be super rewarding, and I love like how there's tons of, or actually I shouldn't say tons, there's a few badass characters you can flip between, and on top of it, they all have combat trees for like, you know, what moves you want them to learn and stuff like that. Dude, they put a lot of time and effort into this game, and it's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy how many throwbacks like there are to the original show, but also references to the Cobra Kai show itself that are in there. I mean, it does follow some of the plot, but it also deviates in its own way because it's a beat 'em up. It feels very much like it wants to be like a 2.5 Streets of Rage, or 2.5D Streets of Rage. But yeah, it's just like you just go through, you beat the crap out of people. If you want to introduce new characters, like it explains like what their, you know, pluses and minuses are, you know, whether you should really have to worry about them or not. You know, there's environmental, like it's not kills, but like it takes them out immediately. And it's like, so you can like kick somebody's, you can like kick somebody into a basketball hoop, or like you can shove them into like a foosball table.
Not the foosball table.
Well, you end up getting them stuck underneath like the bars of it. Like, it's just, it's a lot of fun. And it's just, yeah, this is hell of a lot better than I was expecting it to be. So yeah. My only issue is that $39.99 price tag. Like, my only major issue with the game is the $39.99 price tag. That's way too damn high for this game. I mean, I think Streets of Rage 4 came out for... It came out at, like, $20, right?
No, I'm pretty sure that was, like, $35.
Was it?
Unless I'm thinking wrong. Let me pull up the store. You could continue talking about Cobra Kai while I pull this up, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, there is, like, a two-player local co-op, which, you know, I mean, that's kind of fun, although... I still have a bit of a gripe with anything that's come out during this COVID time that, you know, doesn't have online multiplayer.
Breach Rage is $24.99. I knew it was a something $4.99.
Yeah. Yeah, if this game was like $20-$25, I'd be like, absolutely, you need to buy this today. Even though I recommend it and I have a lot of fun with it, that price, like the price that they're selling it at, is just way too damn high, in my opinion.
So buy it, try it, deny it. What do you say?
Oh my god! Because it's like, it's not even like a try. It's like I tell you to buy it, but I just don't agree with that price point.
Buy it when it's on sale. There, that's pretty simple.
I mean, Joe bitches when I say buy it when it's on sale, but so
he's never done that to me.
Well, he probably likes you.
No, not at all. I don't like any of you.
God,
that's.
My disdain for you is palpable. Oh man! All right, next game is Brun. What? What were you saying?
If I have to choose one of the three, I'll say buy it.
All right. Next game is Brunswick Pro Billiards, developed and published by Farsight Studios, released October 14th on Xbox One, Switch, and Steam for $19.99. Brunswick Pro Billiards is the most realistic and immersive billiards game available for any platform. An officially licensed Brunswick product featuring real pool tables, pool cues, and billiard ball sets. Compete against friends or other players online for Brunswick bucks and use those winnings to upgrade equipment and tables. Players can also hone their skills against AI opponents, battle friends in local multiplayer matches, and play single-player challenge modes offering a variety of gameplay options. Jacob, tell us about this one. Even though I think I pretty much already did.
Yeah, pretty much. So it is a pool game, as you may have figured out, billiards to be exact. So it's not like you're in a swimming pool. And yeah, it's just there's online multiplayer, there's local, and there's practice. There's not much to it in that regard. I can't vouch for online mode because whenever I tried to go online, there was nobody to play against. Practice is okay, but it's a little iffy because there's no way to really mess with the level of the AI that you're playing against, and so it just does what it wants to. And
the AI in this game is a fucking asshole.
Yeah, I literally had a game where I broke, and it was the AI's turn, and it just annihilated the entire table in one go, and I was just like, what?
Jesus.
So what practice was I supposed to get in?
Mm-hmm.
The practice on losing.
Yeah,
I had a game earlier today where the computer broke. It sunk every ball, then it sunk the 8-ball and scratched at the same time, so I won.
That's wow. That's lucky.
I didn't do a goddamn thing. I watched the game for 3 minutes, just play itself.
Yeah, and it's just, and that's part of the problem with the practicing is that it's just like there's nothing that you can edit. You can't make it be easy. You can't make it be hard. And so it's either you get immediately annihilated or you have a decent chance at winning. It's one of the two. And then there's local, which Joe and I have had quite the saga with the developers. And I will say this, the developers seem like nice folks. They responded, when we brought a couple of issues to their attention. But it doesn't really seem, well, first off, my issue never got fixed. Joe, did you have any issues with doing a local game or no?
I eventually got the local game working when I had the profile signed in before I started up the game. But I don't really have anyone to play with, so I didn't really get into any local matches because I live alone with the cats and a wife who doesn't play video games.
I'm a little surprised that you haven't actually taught one of the cats how to play.
I tried so hard.
But, so at my house, now keep in mind, I have an Xbox One S. So we don't know if that's maybe what's screwing with my side or not, but, so going into local, both mine and my wife's accounts were signed in before we played the game, and it won't let us start a local co-op game. It only lets one player make any kind of decisions, and so the other player can't ever say, okay, I'm fine with this, and then start the game. And so we essentially just have a broken game. Like,
They said it's something with the engine, some kind of issue with accounts in the engine that they're using.
They said it's hard to fix.
Yeah.
They're trying to. And as I said, they were very receptive. You know, like, I took a couple of videos of everything that we were doing, and they were really happy. They were really pleased with that because, you know, they got, you know, they had definite proof and could replicate that, I guess. But it's just, you know, you have a practice mode where the AI is a dick. You have a local mode that doesn't work, and you have an online function that nobody plays. So
and there's challenges. They have the challenge mode that has time attack, nine ball solitaire, and shot caller mode.
Yeah, which I tried doing some of the challenges, and I either was not awarded them, or I just wasn't able to do it. So I don't. I forgot about that part. So I know some of the stuff is either broken or they just don't explain how to play it well. And now that I do think about it, granted this was fixed with an update, but one of the achievements was broken for me, which I eventually did get, which was just win a game in practice mode. For $19.99, and all the problems we've listed with it, like, unfortunately, it's a deny it. I really hope that it gets fixed. I mean, the developers seem nice enough, and it sounds like they're trying to fix it, but, I mean, the game's been out for, like, what, 2 weeks now?
Yeah, about 3 weeks, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 2-3 weeks. Like, if they could get it turned around, great, but I think that ship sailed on this one.
Which is a bummer. Mechanically, it's really solid. It's a great billiards game. Physics are great. I had a good time playing it when the computer actually let me play it. I'm not a fan of the Brunswick bucks that they have in the game. Some of the, like,
it doesn't award you enough. And on top of it, if you lose, then it's like, oh, well, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
practice mode doesn't award anything. I think they should allow you to earn something during practice mode. Just because, like, some of the items in this game are ungodly expensive, and there are real money transactions possible. So if you want to purchase some of this stuff, with Brunswick bucks, you can, rich kid strats your way to getting some stuff. But I think the prices are just way too high on some of them.
Jeez. I mean, and the thing is that some of the achievements require you to own certain things. So, I mean, mm-hmm. So I guess technically you can buy your way to achievements if you're that much of an achievement whore.
Yeah, there's acquire every cue stick, ball set, and cloth color. So you have to unlock everything to get all the achievements. And that's either a lot of playing, and it's really hard to find games online, or it's a lot of real money.
Did you manage to find any?
No.
Did you manage to find any?
Nope. I tried for about an hour earlier today. I would keep trying and back and forth between practice matches and searching online, and I couldn't find anything. So it's unfortunate, but it doesn't seem like an audience is there, but hopefully they keep working on it and turn it around.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jacob, that's it for you.
Yay. No more suffering.
Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Nah, I hate Cole.
Yeah, join the club.
Oh, Lord. All right. Next game to talk about is the Dark Pictures Anthology Little Hope, developed by Supermassive Games, published by Bandai Namco, released October 30th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $29.99. Four college students and their professor become stranded in the abandoned town of Little Hope. Trapped by an impenetrable fog, they try desperately to escape whilst witnessing terrifying visions from the past. They must figure out the motivation of these apparitions before the evil forces at work drags each of their souls to hell. Sounds cheery. Cole, tell us about it.
Yeah. It's not cheery. It's not at all. I don't think there's any bit of hope whatsoever in this game, despite the title being Little Hope. That's just the name of the town that they wind up in where all the bad shit happens. So the Dark Pictures Anthology is essentially an interactive movie, if you will. You get a little bit of say-so over how the story ends up. You get a little bit of say-so over how the characters behave and what kind of choices they make. But for the most part, other than walking around from time to time and interacting, there's not any puzzles. There's not any, like, you know, dramatic gameplay beyond some, like, quick time events, right? Mm-hmm. It's just you sit down with a blankie in the dark and get ready to get shit scared out of you, because before you know it, you're going to be trying to run away from some broken-ass little creature that's trying to puke oil in your mouth and kill you.
Nice.
It's so fun. So cheerful. It's really just a beacon of joy.
The happy game.
Yeah. It's very dark. It's very grim. The opening scene literally starts with an entire family, except for one person, dying in a gruesome fire. Look, I did it. I said it right. The choices that you make, the opening prologue was so difficult for me because, like, I kept really hammering home how I made the choices, thinking it was going to affect how these people died or lived. And let me tell you, didn't fucking matter. By the time I got to the last one, I was like, I'm not picking if she dies, I'm picking how. That's the game in a nutshell. Like, you're not choosing if somebody's going to live. You're choosing which gruesome way they're dying. And that kind of just carries on throughout the game. You will often be faced with decisions where you can either pick a dialogue option. You'll have a bearing that shows up in the corner of the screen. And you tilt it. Each character has, like, a series of character traits that are available to them, which kind of dictates how they're going to answer whatever situation they're in. And you can choose, say, you can choose to be more aggressive or to be more compassionate, and shift your bearings and your traits with the other characters. But that's more for just, like, how the story fleshes out, as opposed to actually changing it in a true sense. This is one of those games where I feel like it's very much about the journey you have to get to the end than it is about the actual end. And I say that because without giving any spoilers, I thought the ending sucked. Shit. I put down the controller and I was like, after all that, I was so mad. So let me say that for the 4.5-5 hours or so I was dicking around playing with the game, trying to find ways to break it because that's what I do best. I was having such a good time, and I was like, I thought all the characters were kind of insufferable and I didn't feel any overwhelming urge to keep anybody alive. Not nearly as bad as what was the other one? Man of Medan. I was just ready to murder all those fuckers from the start. I was like, wow. I hate them all. Throw them all in the water.
Wow.
I didn't form an attachment to a single one of those characters. I was at least a little more invested this time, but I was still like, man, y'all are fucking insufferable.
There's a co-op element too, isn't there, that you tried out?
There is a co-op element. Again, it's an interactive drama, right? So even though you have a co-op element, it's not as in-depth in Little Hope as it was in Man of Medan. In Man of Medan, you can make a decision and get your co-op partner fucking sliced. Just phew, dead, the end. and you just be like, oops, and that was that. In Little Hope, it doesn't ever feel that dire when you're in co-op. It's kind of helpful when you're doing some of the quick time sequences. The rabbit's having a party now. it's kind of helpful when you're doing the QuickTime sequences, because when you're doing those sequences solo, you have to do the sequences for both characters pretty rapidly, and that increases your risk of failure. If you're like me and you don't give a fuck about the characters, you're like, eh, let's see how you're going to die now. but if you care and you actually want to keep them alive to see what happens to them next, and if there's another better way you can murder them, then you know, you want to keep them alive, and trying to keep up with those rapid fire QTEs can be a bit of a pain. Having somebody else along with you to take over half of those is a godsend. Because then you get to kill them in more gruesome manners later. I killed everybody.
I can tell.
I was like, fuck this guy. He's out. And then I accidentally saved one at the end and I was mad. I was like, no, you were the worst. I didn't want you.
Wow. Aki, you dabbled with this one too, didn't you?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I actually like a couple of the characters.
Woo!
I like Tyler, the tomboy, and the...
That's because you want to make kissy faces with her.
That is besides the point.
Is the point.
I also like the dude who had a concussion. I don't remember his name, though, because he Andrew. Wasn't Tyler. Okay, yeah, I like those two. They have interesting personalities. I really didn't like the other characters. I thought the rest of them were kind of shitty. And
I did think Andrew had a little more depth, given that he had a few moments where he could go against his best interest and make other decisions. And they played out really well and really interesting if you were brave enough to do it.
He was the main character.
He was. And to back up a little bit, like, at the beginning, after the whole house fire thing, there's a bus crash. You got three college students and two professors. The bus driver goes missing. Nobody knows where he's at, if he's okay. They just assume he's gone into town to get help. Andrew's got a concussion. Everybody else seems moderately okay enough. And so then they're just trying to get through to the town of Little Hope to get help. But the town is like shrouded in fog. And if they go one way into it, then they get diverted back and brought back to where they were until they get through that particular sequence. So, yeah, Andrew is your primary focus. He's the main character. They discover that there are doppelgangers who look at other characters who look just like them, but are from the past. And so the whole point is to like discover your ties to those doppelgangers, correct? Hmm. It's a really interesting concept. And again, this is why I said all the way throughout the story, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm on board for this. There's elements where they've drawn inspiration from the Salem witch trials, only it's Little Hope. And they've had their version of the witch trials. And then there are some other supernatural elements involved. And then the ending just kind of throws it all out the window. It's like, well, that's that. Bye. And you're like, no. But there was so much cool shit. And then they just abandoned it. But I really loved the buildup and everything about the story. Even if I didn't particularly love the characters. Like, nobody made me want to keep them alive. But even though I felt that way about the characters, I was still super intrigued in experiencing their progression through the story and who they were and how they were tied to these past versions of themselves.
Now, overall, $30 on it. What do you think about it?
I think it's more than worth it. I will say that the cutscenes and the cinematics of these Dark Picture Anthology games are by far the best elements of them. Mm-hmm. When you get to where you're actually controlling a character, it feels just a little more off. And they almost feel like they're floating in the environment as opposed to being a part of it. But when you're in it and you just like are experiencing it as opposed to actually trying to be shoehorned into it, it's a very different scenario, and that's when it shines the best. And for all of its flaws, I still had a really good time with it. I think the story minus the shit ending was way better than Man of Medan's was.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Yestermorrow, developed by Bitmap Galaxy, published by Blowfish Studios, released November 5th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Yestermorrow is a single-player time-traveling 2D platformer mixing action sequences with puzzle elements. Follow Yui's return to the past, where she must overcome all obstacles to salvage a world trapped in never-ending night. What she discovers along the way will leave her with a difficult choice. What will she choose when the fate of her world and the Order of Timekeepers rests in her hands? Cole, tell us about Yestermorrow.
I didn't choose shit because I broke the game.
What?
Yeah, imagine that.
Can you stop breaking shit?
Breaking things. It's almost like I do it on purpose. And just to tell you if the game is breakable or not. So, in Yestermorrow, you play as Yui. Yui's world is this beautiful pixel. The rabbit is really having a party. A beautiful pixel kind of platformer situation. You can almost like old school Zelda feeling-ish, if you will, where like you can explore this beautiful city and chat with all the locals, and there's a special event. But during this special event, the shit hits the fan, as it is wont to do during a special event in a video game. And everything sort of just gets plunged into darkness, and there's corruption, and that's just what we do in games now. like all of them. it's pretty stereotypical for his genre, right? As lovely as it all is, this initial like basis for the story is like, okay, yeah, I've seen this a million times. That said, gameplay wise, you actually go as Yui, you can go into these teleporters, which teleport you back into the past, or if you're already in the past, you can go into one and teleport back into the future. So you have this time travel element which shifts the world. It's not entirely like The Messenger, where you can kind of do it dynamically on the fly, though. You have to find these teleporters, and you have to do it in such a way that it solves the puzzles of these temples and lets you right the things that have gone wrong in the past. It's a really neat mechanic, and it makes the game a really solid puzzle platformer. Somehow I managed to bork it on one of the way that it's laid out. Like, I can't be like, it was level 3. It's just, I was in a temple. but about partway through the game, one of the temples, I had solved it, and I come out, and it's like, you need to speak to the guardian. And I'm like, cool. And I go to speak to the guardian, and he's not there. So I go back to the, go out. And when it's not there, it's like, you need to go through the teleporter first. And you go through the teleporter, and it takes it back to the past. And then I go back outside again. They're like, you need to go to speak to the guardian. And I'm like, I can't, because he's not here, because he's in the past. And he's not there either. It was broken. I don't know what I did. Like, I had done everything up to that point where I was supposed to, you know, solve the puzzle, and I solved it, and I was in the right time period, but the progression wasn't there. So unfortunately, my time with the game got cut short because I don't know. It just won't go. I tried uninstalling it, reinstalling it. I wasn't about to start over from the beginning, because who the fuck has time for that?
Yeah.
You know, but it was what it was. For what I could play of it, I was having a really good time with it. And I was this is
I
solid.
Really enjoyed my time with this game. I thought you were going to gush about it more, and you're like, it just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, because it broke. Because it broke. You know?
I'm jealous.
Breaking.
And that's the sad part. Like, I really did like what I played, but then I just hit that wall of, I can't go anywhere with it anymore. And I want to complete it. I want to enjoy more of it. I'm just at a wall. And that's a shame, because otherwise I'm like, yeah, I've had other people ask me about it, and they're like, oh, you already played it. I was like, yeah. And it was good until I broke it. And I'm like, hopefully the devs
hear this, and maybe we could get in touch with them and see if we could get this patched or fixed.
I play on an Xbox One S, and so breaking shit these days is far more common for me, and I haven't heard anybody else who is playing this on an X or anything have issues with it. I am more than content to give the game a buy it because I think there's a lot of good there. I just want to, you know, preface that with, I broke it.
Yeah. And that's, but you break unusual. Everything, so that's nothing new.
And it's not unusual. And yeah. I don't want to hold it against the game, but I'm also kind of required to tell you I did it.
Yeah. So but a buy it works for me because I really enjoyed it and I agree with it. So
yeah.
All right. Next game is Chicken Police, Paint It Red, developed by The Wild Gentlemen, published by Handy Games, released November 5th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $19.99, coming later to the Switch. Chicken Police is a story and dialogue heavy game combining elements of visual novel and classic adventure genres. There will be more than 30 characters to talk to, with some requiring you to apply fierce interrogation tactics, collect tons of clues, evidence, and sensitive personal information from the shady creators of Clawville to be ruthlessly used against them. Shady characters of Clawville, not creators. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know how to talk anymore. I give up.
Yeah.
So how about you talk and tell us about Chicken Police, Paint It Red?
I don't want to talk.
Tough. It's your job.
Ah, fuck.
Do anyway, it.
Chicken Police. Hold on a second. I've got a child walking by. Nope, I'm wrong. She's already back there. Okay. She will walk by in a minute.
Da, 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 da,
maybe.
Da, 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 da,
do you have your water?
Da, da,
da, huh?
Da, da.
We'll get the water.
I'm not editing any of this.
Go ahead. She's just sitting there with her cup, and I'm like, get your water. Terrible. The rabbit's having a fit. My kid isn't in bed. I'm like the dude who was like doing the stream for work, and his kids come in and his wife is like scrambling behind him, and my husband's just like, fuck it, you're on your own.
Well, you're not going to talk about the game while we wait, are you?
No, because then I'll forget what I was talking about, and that would be terrible. I don't want to do a disservice to the devs like that. Also, I have to say fuck a lot for this game, so my kid.
I mean, you don't have to say fuck a lot. That's just what you do.
Trust me with this one, I have to say fuck a lot. it's important.
Somehow I feel like everyone that lives in your house has heard you say that plenty.
Okay, so Chicken Police uses the phrase furry hell a lot.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because the game is basically like everybody has a human body, but they have an animal head. It's really fucking weird and very fucking disjointing, jarring. I don't know. There's words, and I don't have them for this game. Like, the entire time I was playing it, I was just like, the fuck am I doing here? Because Chicken Police has you in control. I can't even remember his fucking name now. Fuck. Anyway, has you in control of a chicken who has basically been kicked off the force. He's kind of in that paid leave kind of scenario because he might not be the most above board police chicken. And he is approached in his apartment by I can't remember if she's a gazelle or an impala now. I think she's a gazelle. We're going to go with that. That sounds good. Lady with a deer head and large bazoongas. And she's basically like, so, your facial expressions are killing me. Trust me, this game is just, if you think I'm all over the place, look at a screenshot. So basically, her boss, who she repeatedly calls her mistress, works, she doesn't work with them. She's in a relationship with a mob boss over the city of Clawville, and people are threatening her by writing whore on things. It's weird. But either way, it's your job to investigate this shit now. And so you go to the police force and you get your other chicken police friend, and apparently he's got a love for guns, and like there's a whole running gag about how he hides his shotgun under his coat. It's named Bertha. I don't know. I don't know with this game. It's weird.
I can tell.
It's very weird. There's an element to it where you're like, it's so weird that I think I like it. But then there's a lot of elements to it. Because it's kind of like if Zootopia wasn't kid-friendly, right? Like, yeah. If Zootopia said fuck a lot, then you'd be like, okay, I get what's going on here. There are a lot of elements that are similar if you've ever seen Zootopia with like the whole, oh, the predator and the prey live together in harmony under the seal of Clawville, but it's not always all that good, and sometimes the predator kill the prey and sometimes the prey kill the predator, and it's your job to deal with it. It's basically a hybrid point and click visual novel love child. Like, see, you're showing the screenshots now. If you're listening to the podcast, get fucked. You can't see it. But if you're on Twitch, you can see the screenshots. And it's just fucking weird.
Yeah, they're like full human bodies with just normal animal heads.
Yeah.
It is very weird.
Yeah. It's kind of odd because when you're playing it, you just kind of accept that that's what it is, right? And you're like, okay, this is the world, and you find yourself kind of just accepting it. But when you're trying to explain it or look at it, you're like, the fuck's going on? What am I doing with my life? I'm playing Chicken Police, clearly. I do want to point out that because they've gone that hyper-mature route with this game, there are some elements that are a little uncomfortable. Like, the police chief is a bloodhound, and the game is like, oh, he's a beacon of justice and truth, and also he's a little lot racist. And you're like, okay. I don't know that those two things really sleuth each other out, but sure. There's also quite a few comments that are unapologetically misogynist, and to an extent you can chalk it up to the fact that the game is like supposed to be one of those retro like police detective noir type of inspired games. Everything's in black and white. There's only a little bit of spot color to make something stand out. Like in one scene you go to one of your clients' weekend houses, and the word whore is written across it in red spray paint. And so the red stands out against everything else being monochrome. And like, you can accept it to a degree. It's one of those things that for me, I'm just like, do we have to idolize the language in that kind of way? Do we really need it? Could the game been okay without it? And yeah, it could have been okay without it. And I would have rather not seen it, but it's there, and it's just one of those that I feel obliged to say, hey, that's there, by the way. Because it's a prominent thing. It's hard to miss that kind of language is used. And maybe not all the ideas presented are good. I also want to complain about something really stupid. You want to hear me complain about something stupid, Joe?
You always do, so why stop now?
Are you ready? This got me so bad because there's one scene where the two chickens go to a diner and they're looking at the menu and they're talking about how the one is like going to eat meat substitute and the other one's like, why would you want to eat meat? That's a little cannibalistic, isn't it? And I just like to point, and the other one's like, but it tastes good. So I just want to point out as a chicken owner that chickens have to eat meat. They are omnivores. They eat. They need protein. And also, they don't have taste buds. So the whole dialogue, I'm just sitting here going, these devs have never had a chicken. And I was so frustrated. That's definitely a stupid me thing. Like, the racism and the sexism are everybody's thing. But the chicken thing is the me thing.
Okay, so.
Then look, I don't know what you expected from a review of a game that looks like this. It is what it is. It's just all over the place. It's just weird. Even the gameplay mechanic of it is just like, you can full on try to fail and fuck it up and it just doesn't care. You're still going to end up getting through it. There's even a whole section where, like, you're looking at a picture of a cat that's in a sexually suggestive pose, and she's like, don't ask how old I was when that was taken, and you're like, you know? But, like, it's just all over the place, and it's weird, and it's one of those games that it's weird enough to make you want to enjoy it while simultaneously being weird in ways that make you don't want to enjoy it. Does that make sense?
A little.
Okay, because, like, I like odd. I like odd games. When I saw it, I was like, chicken, police, that's great. But as I played it, there were a few times where I was like, not great, you know? And I found myself very firmly on the fence as to whether or not it was a good game or bad, because it just, for everything it does well with being odd, it goes the other way and does poorly at being odd, too.
Overall, $20. I need a verdict.
I'm gonna roll with a try it. I think there are good elements here. I'm so middle of the road with this game because I can't decide if I love it or hate it, you know? And it's like, there's good elements here. Some things get overshadowed them, but there's also a lot of good gameplay, and it's a lengthy ass game, and I think it justifies its price if you're not going to be bothered by the fact that they think chickens don't eat meat.
God damn it. All right, next game is Wonderling, developed by Retroid Interactive, published by Toplitz Productions, released October 27th on Xbox One and PS4 for $9.99. In Wonderling, you're not a hero, but a low-level video game goon who has just unlocked the power to jump. Chase down the hero across beautiful scrolling levels and show him who's the real boss. Well, tell us about Wonderling.
I forgot I played this because I played so much other weirder shit this week. Like, I remember when I played it, I was like, this is weird shit. And then I played everything else this week, and I was like, no, that first game was fine. it's been a wild one. So, Wonderling is the story of Carrot Man. I'm going to get you in a second. I know Carnage is like, no. Well, listen, the story of Carrot Man, who is the hero of the game, and he's just going along, bunking the enemies on the head, kicking them into the ground, and he steals the portal-making scepter of the evil witch, right? The evil witch, whose name is Kohlrabi, which is funny, given that the other dude is Carrot Man. I'm easily amused.
I can tell.
So then, after he steals Kohlrabi's staff, portal-making staff, and makes a portal, gets the fuck out, then Kohlrabi does a news segment with a cow with a camera on its head. This is a weird one, too. And basically decides that she's going to create a champion to get her staff back from Carrot Man, right? So this is like a reverse video game. Carrot Man's the hero. You are one of the little Goomba-like characters, which is essentially a potato. And you're revived out of the ground, and now you have the ability to go back after Carrot Man, get your revenge, and get Kohlrabi's staff back. Except there's a little bit of a hitch. How do enemies move in a platformer? They go left to right, right to left, left to right, right to left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if they bump something, it just shifts their path and they turn around again. That's how you play this game. The little potato dude goes left to right all on his own. You don't have any control except for she has given you the ability to jump. So it's a platformer, but you have no control over whether you're going left or right. You have to just time it so that you're hitting the walls and the when necessary to turn you around to be able to make the jump to the next platform. Carnage says that's a runner style. I always think of runners as like also is challenged. So I guess, I don't know. I guess you can use it for this too.
Oh, yeah, it's an auto runner where the character's just moving and all you do is jump.
I always think of like, it goes left to right endlessly for a runner, or one direction endlessly and never rotates. But yeah, I guess you're right. I just hadn't thought of it that way. I'm bad with genres.
Yeah.
I know what roguelikes are. Card battlers. So yeah, anyway, Wunderling just goes back and forth, you know, left to right, and you can jump. As you progress through the game, you'll get a little extra abilities, one being you can jump further. You can kind of like dash and go a little further. You'll go through a series of levels, and then you'll have like a boss point where you are the boss. And you are trying to take down Carrot Man's lives a little bit so that, you know, you can defeat him and get the staff back. And it's really a clever game idea, honestly, to be on the opposite end of things rather than being the hero. You're the little anti-hero. And I'm fully on board with it. It's got a really good art style. I liked a lot of the humor in it. I giggled over all the vegetable names. And I thought it was really well done. I think it can be a little frustrating at times. It's not always 100% responsive or obvious as to like what you need to do with, you know, like the dashing was kind of hard to get my hands used to doing. But it can be a little tough. But beyond that, I think it's really well done. It's creative.
Carnage is saying, I'm not reviewing the game here, but for $10, it's really an underrated game and a steal. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can agree. I think it's one of those that people will look at and just assume that it's a normal platformer and kind of miss out on the little quirk that makes it charming.
I can agree with that. I picked it up for $10. I'm having a good time with it. I'm enjoying it. It's cute. It's adorable. It looks good. Mm-hmm. It's just an entertaining, fun diversion.
Yep.
And that's what you need sometimes.
Sometimes.
All right. Next game is called Ord, developed by Muho Games, published by Rattleaka Games, released November 3rd on PS4, 4th on Xbox One, 6th on the Switch for $4.99. Ord is a unique take on text adventure games with a minimalist use of words, visuals, and sound. Play unique stories with three words only. Ord will make you laugh and cry through its original approach to narrative and game design. You have to experience Ord to see it for yourself. Cole, tell us about Ord.
I fucking love this, and I was not expecting to. We all know, if you've ever listened to the show, you've heard me be like, text games are great. Holy shit, what a creative way to do text games where it's literally tied to just a couple of words. When you start the game up, it is a black screen, white text, and you have the option to choose the type of quest that you're going to go on. Are you going to do the foul things? Are you going to go on a quest? Or I forget what the other options are. There were a handful of them. And then once you start, you will be given a word. And then you will be given an option or two. And then from that point, you will get a reaction as to whatever result is there for the option that you chose. So let's say the word is awake. You can choose, or alarm. Let's go with alarm. You can choose to wake up, or you can choose to snooze. If you keep snoozing enough, then you get an achievement for being lazy.
Which I got.
Yeah. And then eventually, if you'll hit wake up, it'll say breakfast, and you can choose between toast or porridge. If you take the toast, it's dry. Sometimes I can't remember what happens with the porridge. I don't think I ever even chose the porridge. I was just like, ew, porridge. And always went with the toast out of instinct. I really need to broaden my horizons. I'm horribly a creature of habit in that regard. So then after breakfast, it might say newspaper. And then give you the option to read or ignore. And if you read it, then it might say, wizard! And then you're like, oh no, what's this wizard gonna do? And it'll give you the option of what or where. And the more you go through it, the broader your quest and your adventure that it gives you gets. But then you may find that you die in ridiculous ways. The first time I died, it was like beehive, and I was like, okay, it's a beehive, right? And so the option was watch or honey. And I'm thinking, well, I'm fat and I like honey, so let's go for that. What could go wrong? What could go wrong is it was like bzz, dead. And I was like, okay, well, let's start all over again. given the randomized nature of it, you're not always going to have the same interactions. Sometimes you may have a full-on adventure just staying in your house, and that is fucking hilarious to me that you could just be like, nope, staying home, not going on a quest for a wizard or going into a dungeon. I'm gonna sit home and eat toast and watch cartoons, and the game will 100% let you do that shit in three words at a time. It does not care.
I have three words of my own for this game.
Yeah.
16 point achievements.
People are going to be pissed about that. there are 62 achievements too. And the interesting thing is that it's randomized. So you have no way of knowing when you're going to get the scenarios that lead to the achievements. You just kind of have to hope for it. It was crazy because I got one of the rarer ones on my very first playthrough. And it popped up and I was like, rare? What? And then I tried to do it again. And no matter what I chose, I didn't get the same option anymore. I can't finish that path. And I want to know what happens if I've got the expensive ass special mace. I want to know. And not just when I fall. Do you know what I did when I had the special mace? I climbed a statue and I died.
Nice.
Because I fell. And I'm like, I have killed spiders. I have sang to trolls. I played happy music for a bard in a field. And this motherfucker dies because I fall off of a statue. All in three words. Yep. All in three words. And that's the beauty of it. One of the other things that I really loved about it is, despite the minimalism, it's not just the words on the screen. If you go in the cave and you keep getting deeper and deeper in the cave, the white text gets fainter and fainter. Like the light is being dulled by the darkness surrounding it. That's so good. I was on a road in a wasteland and little white rain droplets started to come down the screen. What a creative way to just beef up a text game just a little bit, you know?
That's cool.
It's already such a creative concept to narrow it down to the three words. And then they just really push it over the top with the minimal, with the minimal design choices. Carnage says he got woozy eating mushrooms. I didn't get to eat mushrooms. I did go to a tavern and get drunk and the words got all wavy. It was fantastic.
Well, I'm going to give you three more words and you have to choose. Buy, try, deny.
Fucking buy it.
That's it? Just buy it?
Yeah. No, I said fucking buy it. That's three. Pay attention, Joe.
That's three words, too.
Yeah.
Pay attention, Joe.
You never listen to.
Shut up, Joe. That's another three.
My favorite three.
Here's three more words. Anyway, next game. Next game is called Switch and Shoot, developed by Matt Glanville and Huey Games, published by Huey Games, released November 4th on Xbox One and PS4 for $4.99. Endless arcade shoot 'em up action with just one button. Switch directions whenever you shoot. Cole, sounds easy enough. Tell us about it.
It is not fucking easy at all. I got so annoyed. I didn't make any progress in this game. I didn't do jack shit. I spent maybe 2 hours just constantly pressing A to switch back and forth. So if you go to the left side of the screen, you'll come back out on the right. Press A, you go back in the right side of the screen, you come back out on the left. Enemies are coming down. You got to press A to shoot at them. So of course that's going to switch the direction you go. It's very basic, very minimal, not a lot to talk about except for the fact that it is fucking hard. I cannot for the life of me get used to that pattern of play. I could not do it.
Yeah, it's very, very weird game to play.
There are bosses and apparently all this. Like, I was looking through the achievements and I was like, fucking how? Who? This was not made for somebody like me. I appreciate that it's one button. That is like the most accessibility ever. And yet still, it just was not viable. It was not something I could do. I was just like, after the 2-hour mark, I was like, I'm going to pull my hair out and scream. And I just have to accept that this is where I'm at with this game. So you just, my husband is just like, you are not in a good place. And I was like, no, I'm fucking not.
But did you have fun for those 2 hours?
The first like 20 minutes, sure. And then after that, I was so mad. No. Because I fancy myself someone who's good at shmups and shooters like this. And, like, this should have 100% been what I play. And I couldn't do it. And I was just so annoyed by it. I give them all the credit in the world for coming up with something so creative. We had some really good creative games this week, and this one's no exception. It's just that, man, you got to have skill, and I did not. I didn't either.
I did terrible at this game, but I had fun trying. I didn't get pissed off like you did. I had a good time trying and failing.
I started off really good. I was like, this is super cool. I like how it's so unique. And then you just press the one button and you don't have to deal with anything. And then just the more I did it, the more I was like, I have to review this and tell everybody I sucked ass at it. And man, I'm just not in the mood.
Well, on the bright side,
bed real quick.
On the bright side, it is only $5. So what do you say?
I think it's a good fuck it. Why not? I think the novelty of it is there. If you got the skill for it, great. I didn't.
Yeah, I can agree with that. It's one of those games where it's cheap enough that fuck it, just pick it up. And if you have a good time with it, you're going to have a blast with it. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work out for you, it was only $5. So yeah. Fuck it.
Yep.
All right. Final game to talk about tonight. We are going to SML After Dark territory with Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams, Dry Twice, developed by Crazy Bunch, published by Assemble Entertainment, released October 23rd on Steam for $34.99. No obstacle will keep me away from my beloved, my faith, not even the wild and untamed islands of Kalua. Those lovely island ladies can only distract me for so long as my heart's compass only points in one direction, faith. Aki, tell us about this one.
Okay, this one picks up maybe a month after the events of the last game. You're on your little Cancun Island paradise, and you find out Faith is alive. So you go off into the middle of the sea on a self-made raft that is absolute dog shit to go find her. And then you get shipwrecked because your raft was absolute garbage. Big shocker, I know. And then you proceed to get laid. Something I never thought I'd actually say about a Leisure Suit Larry game. He gets laid.
Wow.
Yeah. More than once even in this. And he doesn't have to do anything for it.
Huh. So Leisure Suit Larry gets laid.
Yes.
Gross.
I know, right? It's disgusting, but still. And while he's still a, what's the right word for it? A douche. He has gotten better. His Pi, has been putting him through sensitivity training. So whilst, yes, he's still a horn dog douchebag, he's not as bad.
Hmm.
Which is refreshing, because he's still bad enough that it's like he's cringe, which is what the game is made for, but he's not quite as cringe at all times. Like, he knows when it's a little too far sometimes. But then you get new characters in this that are just terrible. You land on the islands that, oh, amazingly, Faith ended up landing on when the storm hit her boat. And she got shipwrecked, because, of course. And basically, you're just going about trying to find her, because she's lost her memory of who she is, and she doesn't know what's going on. So she just kind of wandered around the island until she ended up becoming a queen of lesbian cannibals. Yes, you heard that right.
Isn't that your job?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I was not happy about that.
You're SML's queen of lesbian cannibals.
Thank you. But someone else has become the leader of Prune during this time, and it's some creepy, cringy-ass Chinese dude. And he's so much worse than Larry ever was. Like, thankfully, he doesn't show up too often in it, because it's mostly just, oh, every now and then you'll reach a point where you'll see a cutscene and it shows what's happening at Prune, and this dude's fucking creepy. I don't like him. Like, he has sex slaves. He's turning Prune into, instead of continuing with the phones, he's turning everything into sex robots. And he's making it to where he can view through all of them. So he can just log into his computer and create sex tapes of anyone he wants. And it's not even for bribery. He's just a sick fuck.
Wow.
That's it. Yeah, he's terrible, and I hate him. But he has sent this special interrogator after Faith. And since she can't find Faith, she follows Larry because she thinks he's a special spy like her because he puts stuff together stupidly and it works somehow. That's literally why she was like, he's a genius. He repurposes things to create stuff. And it was like, all he did was put a fan onto the back of his shitty raft to make it a motor. She's like, he's a genius. I'm like, no, you're both stupid. That's what's going on here. But so the entire thing is you just going around a couple islands. There's three of them to try and first try and find Faith. Then when you find her, to try and get her memory back. And then you go to Prune to deal with the Chinese dude. I forget his name because it really didn't matter. And yeah, it's pretty fun. It was funny. I really enjoyed this. It also, like the first game, near the end, it gave you an old throwback version of the game, which was really cool. I really like those. And yeah, it's pretty easy. It took me, God, how long did it take me? I think it took me 12 hours, but I also ate and left the game on.
That's not bad.
Yeah, so it's probably closer to like a 9-hour game thereabouts. It's pretty good.
Any gripes just
over the course of? Not really. No, I mean, I think this Larry is a lot better than all the previous Larrys. He's significantly less cringe, and I can get behind that.
All right.
One of the best parts of this was after he meets the governor of the island that he gets crashed on, and she's like, let's bang. And then he's just so flabbergasted. He's like, what? Don't you want me to go get you something first? Don't I need to go do something? She's like, no, just take off your clothes. He was like, huh. And then she's not impressed with how he did it. None of the women are shocking. Impressed with his. Yeah. No woman in this is impressed with it.
That's kind of the point of Larry. But $35 on this one, what do you think?
I say get it when it's on sale. I don't honestly, if you're into these games, go ahead and buy it now. If you're not into these games, you might like this one if you like pervy humor. It's still pretty cringy, but at $35, that's a bit much to me. I say wait until it's like $15 to $20. I'd be much more accepting in that range. But yeah, I think it was a fun game. If you like these, go for it. If you don't, maybe try it when it's on sale. It's better than the previous one.
Cool. Works for me. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Hooray.
Woo.
Woo. Not all of us made it, but.
Yeah, Jacob died.
Well, you know.
That's okay.
Nobody pay attention to the bloody knife in my hand. It's fine.
Anyway, big thanks to the two of you for being here. Thanks to Jacob for being here as well. And thanks again to the Razzlecast crew at the beginning of the show for chatting about Full Gear. Can't wait for that. It'll probably be going on as you're listening to this, or if you already watched it and you're listening to it. I don't know. It's not worth it.
Totally.
Our show sucks.
I don't know. I'm pretty fantastic. I don't know about you guys, but I'm fantastic.
No. Anyone have any final words?
Nope.
No, not this time. Sorry.
You two are awesome.
I know I am.
I'm sorry. I'm over here trying to bury Jacob. I mean, I'm getting ready to go for the night.
Perfect.